Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll read verses 21 through 28 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 21 through 28. Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 28. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for your presence here in this place. Lord, this morning, the Holy Spirit was thick in here, and I believe that your presence and you yourself were pleased at this church. People being saved and eternity being changed and Christians' lives being challenged and strengthened. Lord, hundreds and thousands of times the people in this room have met together, and yet we still stand in need of you. Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can tonight through our preacher. Strengthen our homes, strengthen our church, strengthen our nation because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Boy, the music has just been spectacular today. Thank God for it. I think the Holy Spirit of God feels very welcome. I think he feels very comfortable here, and I thank God for that. In your Bibles, we read from Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bible open still, I'll refer to these verses again. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Notice this passage of Scripture, its context is marriage. When Mrs. Owens and I first got married, and sometimes at our couples retreats that we have annually, I get to talk a little more about our wedding and some things that have happened, and here and there I tell little stories. I'm going to repeat some that you've heard, and I want to tell you a little bit about when we first got married. The sermon tonight comes from the word submitting and submit in this passage of Scripture. I call it mutual submission. When we first got married, I was just as green as I could be about this thing called marriage. Really, all I knew about it was from All in the Family, Archie Bunker and Edith, and that wasn't going over real good. And then every once in a while, little Green Acres came into the thing. But we first got married, a lot of silly things. I remember our wedding ceremony. My wife's father had passed away, and there was a family across the street. Well, my wife's family, actually, when her mother and father came here from Germany, they didn't speak English, and there was a family across the street from them that kind of adopted my wife a bit. And when her father passed away, the man across the street who had become like a grandfather became the man that would step up and give my wife away at our wedding. His name was Irvin Beale. Irvin's gone now. He passed away many, many years ago. But I'm going to guess Irvin was probably in his 70s or 80s. He was 84 years old at our wedding ceremony. Irvin, he didn't travel very fast. He didn't hear very well. They brought him, when he brought my wife down the aisle, I thought it was going to take forever. I mean, the old codger was shuffling slow. He was in low, real low, slow motion. Got him all the way down front, And the pastor asked about who gave the bride away, and Irvin said his little speech, and then I was to go down and receive Mrs. Owens, bring her up onto the platform. When I went down, Irvin was standing on the train of her wedding dress. So Mrs. Owens, I heard her say to Irvin, "Irvin, you're on my train." And he said, "Huh?" She said, "You're on my train." And he said, "Huh?" And I mean about five times. You know, you ever seen the Muppets and the two old men setting up in the balcony? Irvin, I mean about five times she said, "You're on my train." He never got it, so she decided to give it a tug. She did, and about that time, old Irvin, 84 years old, he goes falling backwards. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He fell back. Some men jumped up out of the crowd and caught him and plunked him down, and there Irvin slept for the rest of the service. And our wedding, it had spice. Yeah, really, I'd be winning the $100,000 for the funniest home video had somebody just taken some pictures or some footage at our wedding. I really thought it would be funny. I thought it would be funny if I blacked out my teeth for my wedding, and I did. I blacked out my front teeth. We have some pictures. You say, "How do you do that?" I'm not sure I should train you things like this. But I had some black construction paper, and I could slip it in when I needed it. Now, I knew if my pastor had known what was going on, I would be dead. So I did it when he wasn't watching. Of course, that's, you know, we all live that way from time to time. But I blacked out. I blacked out my middle teeth. My wife couldn't believe it. Then our rehearsal. The rehearsal was really something. First of all, she gave me a Bible as a gift, had my name imprinted on it, misspelled it. That hurts. She's not misspelled it on any check that she signed ever since then. We were at the rehearsal the night before, and her uncle, my wife comes from a bunch of German Polacks. His name is Laskowski, and Bruno Laskowski, he lived out in Utah, and he's a moron, and he worked for Walt Disney. He was an artist for Walt Disney. And I'd never met the guy before. And he was sitting there at our rehearsal. And I don't even know why. Well, I do know why. At our rehearsal, the family and everybody was sitting there. And our pastor, I'd never heard him make this speech before, but he made this speech. He said, "Anyone here that has any reason to oppose this union, speak now or forever hold your peace." Well, I never heard my pastor say that before. And about that time, Uncle Bruno stands up and he said, "I oppose this union." I got croaked. I thought, "Walt Disney, shut up, Goofy, sit down." And I was shocked. This man was speaking up and he was being so serious. And my pastor said, "And sir, what's your complaint?" And then it was very sweet. He said, "Well, when Sherry was a little girl, I was her favorite uncle, and she promised to marry me." And but he was just being funny. At our wedding, my uncle was there. My uncle was a photographer. We thought we were going to save some money. And so I was going to let my uncle take pictures. My uncle really took this thing of me getting married. He took a little rough, and he'd had a few right before the wedding. And he was feeling good. He was feeling good. And I'm not kidding you. At my wedding, my uncle, he took lots of pictures, didn't he, honey? Lots of pictures. But they were all of the women at the church. Really, cross my heart, hope Brother Bush dies. I'm telling you right now, we did not get one single wedding picture at that wedding. It came from everybody else's cameras, but we've got hundreds of pictures of the women at the church. My wife, she wanted to kill him. Some of them were really good pictures, but I mean, you should have seen it. But his mind was not on my wedding, I'll guarantee it. We, for our honeymoon, we didn't have any money, and so we were going to stay at the apartment that we had set up. And at the last minute, my dad gave us some money, and we were able to go away. But what we did is I let my parents, who had come into town, I decided, well, I'll let them then stay in our apartment. But nobody knew that was going to happen. And so some people had got into the apartment, not knowing that my parents were going to stay there. Now, my wife and I, we're shooting out of town, and I was a youth director at that time, and whole bunch of people had broken into our apartment per se and did all sorts of mean things, thinking they were doing it to my wife and I. They're actually doing it to my mom and dad. They put rice in the bed. They were calling them through the night. They short sheeted the bed. They sewed my mom's nightgown shut. My wife was very offended because my mom and her were not built exactly the same. So my wife thought, well, they should have known by the size of the garment. But it was good. Then on our honeymoon, boy, we had a good time. On our honeymoon, I just thought, I've had to stop doing this. I just thought it was fun to scare my wife. Scaring my wife seemed like the thing to do. Now, we've stopped that in recent years. We were on our honeymoon, and she had fallen asleep on my shoulder. It was so romantic, and we're driving up the road. And driving in front of me was a tow truck that was hauling an 18-wheeler where they had turned it around, and it looked like that truck was coming right at us. And she's resting calmly, sleeping on her protector's shoulder. And I'm thinking, this is good. This is good. So I pull right up at the nose of that Mack truck, and I lay on the horn. I say, watch out! Oh, brother. She was trying to climb out of the car. I'm grabbing her before she grabs the door. That was funny to me. But it was a while before she laughed. She's laughing tonight, but now see what happened is I laughed first, she cried, I cried second, she laughed. Oh my, I had so much to learn. What an experience. Now I'm gonna tell you something tonight that I had to learn. I had to learn it the hard way. I didn't know. I really did not know. And if you'll listen to the lesson that I teach you tonight, it's extremely practical. It's not going to be amazing, but it'll help you, those of you that are married. And off and on in the lesson, I'll apply it in some other ways. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another. Now, you have to understand the context there. It's about marriage. I call this mutual submission in your relationship, especially in your marriage relationship. Listen, folks, any good relationship requires or includes what we call some give and take. Some give and take. All relationships are that way. Any relationship where there's someone just that it's all take, you're not going to have a good relationship. If anybody's required all give, it's not going to be a good relationship. Any good relationship takes some compromise. I was thinking about something, and I have such a wonderful, wonderful thing going. I've got a board of deacons, and for 7 years, the group of men that were deacons when I arrived here, and the group of men in the process of years that were deacons, we have never one time in 7 years had a power struggle in our meeting. Not once. There are things that they requested me, and I submit to them. There are things I request of them, and they submit to me. There is a mutual submission. And I'm not talking, the deacons, they don't demand anything of me. They'll bring something up and say, preacher, could we look into this? What do you think about this? And we do it. It's not a matter of, oh, don't tell me. We don't work that way. It's not like that. You hear the horror stories about, the butting of the heads and the arguments. We have never had any of that. Zero. Zero. I'll tell you why. There is a mutual submission that takes place. There's a mutual submission, a give and a take. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. If you don't get the in honor, preferring one another down in your relationships, there's going to be tension, there's going to be fussing, there's going to be fighting. And I'm talking about relationships between two church members. I'm talking about husbands and wives. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. I'm talking between two leaders. You have to develop an in honor, preferring one another. Now, I'm going to deal specifically, or I suppose in abundance tonight, about marriage. But I wish all of us would learn in honor preferring one another. And when I say compromise, I'm not talking about compromising our biblical convictions. I'm talking about compromising about some of the, just the way we treat each other and in conversation and in everyday life. There's just some give and take, some pull and push, and that's just how it is. Now, let me get started. Number one, there's a misconception that women are the ones who are required, or they're the only ones required submission in a marriage relationship. And I say to you, it is a misconception. The misconception that the woman is the only one who is required to be submissive in the marriage relationship. And before some of you male theologians try to crucify me, just wait. We're coming around to where you want to be. But it's a misconception that the woman is the only one that is to submit in marriage. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Bible says it. So it's not just the woman who is to submit in marriage. Man is not to walk around the house swinging a big stick just all the time demanding his way. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what makes good marriage. Usually, when we hear the word submission in regard to a marital relationship, we immediately think of the woman. And there's a reason for that. But the Bible says, submitting ourselves one to another. You've heard me teach this concept before. I'll just touch on it again. You know, when someone demands that they're the leader, usually they're not. Why demand what you already have? See, leadership is a quality, not just a position. I think men, we've got to develop the quality that we call leadership. Indeed, you fulfill or you fill a position. But listen, submission applies to both husband and wife. Both husband and wife. Folks, in the human race, we can only get along if we can learn some submission toward each other. Submission in relationships, it's a politeness. It is a courtesy. Let somebody else be right sometimes. Let somebody else control the conversation a little bit sometimes. And I say to you, first of all, there is a misconception that the woman is the only one who is required to be submissive in a marriage relationship. The Bible very clearly says we're to submit one to another. Point number two, the woman is commanded to be submissive to her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, notice here, God specifically now comes along and he says, "Now wives, I said there is to be a mutual submission. Husband and wife are to submit." Now God comes back and he says, "Now ladies, you make sure you are submissive to your husband. There will be times when you're just going to need to submit to his wishes." Notice it says here, to your own husband. Can I teach you all something? Ladies, sometimes it amazes me how submissive some of you are to other men at the church. You're polite, you're kind, you're submissive, and then you won't practice that same courtesy to your own husband. Well, and let me throw this in here. Since I said that to the ladies, there are some of you men are very gentlemanly to other women in the church. You can pop the door open and hold it open for some woman that you don't even know, and your wife's about 15 foot behind you getting her own door. When it says to your own husband, it's saying, hey, if anybody deserves that good treatment, it's the ones that we love the most. My wife should not be treated like a second-class citizen while all the other women in my life are treated like first-class. And your husband, ma'am, should not be treated like a second-class citizen and all the other men are treated with admiration and respect to your own husband. But the Bible does say you're to submit. The Bible teaches here why. Well, why? And God tells us because he is the head. For the husband is the head of the wife. Men, you're to think spiritually for the welfare of your wife. He's a bit the thinker. You say, no, mine's a stinker. Well, I'm trying to tell you he's the head. There's an authority figure here. And so, you know, I didn't write this, God did. When you get to talking about submission in this day and age, it's pretty quickly rejected. Society and public, the secular colleges and all, they'll teach you that this is wrong. They'll teach you that it is wrong, but the Bible teaches that a wife should submit to her own husband. Now remember, husbands, we are to possess the qualities of leadership, but let me say, but the man is also appointed by God. He's appointed by God to the position of head of the household. Let me see if I can say something. I think it'll make sense to you. Let's take, for instance, the possibility that you come across a strong-willed woman. Is that a possibility? There, no, not one man here is going to say amen right now. You're smart. You're smart. Where in the world does that come from? Where does that strong-willedness come from? Well, sometimes it comes when maybe a young lady grew up in a home where she had a bit of a weak father, and she learned it from a strong-willed mother. There are ladies who came up in a home where mama ran everything, and she thought that's how it was supposed to be done. But just so you know, that's not how it's supposed to be done. Dad, the husband, is to be the head of the household. Where in the world would a strong-willed woman come from? Well, maybe it is she was single for a long period of time and she had to develop a certain strength, a certain self-dependency. And you'll have to understand that. Let's say that somebody in here, you marry a gal that has been single and had to live on her own for a good while. She's liable to be a little bit strong. Why? Well, she had to make the decision when she had changed the oil in her car and had to make the decision when she had paid the electric bill. She did that to survive. She had to become strong to survive. She had to become strong because she was being both mom and dad. She had to become strong, but then make it right once you get married. But I'm telling you where that strong will may have developed. Sometimes a lady is strong-willed because she feels like she married a weak man. Sometimes a lady gets a little strong-willed because she feels like her husband had made some mistakes and she feels forced to step up and lead. Sometimes she's just rebellious. But I say to you, and some of you ladies say, that's it, Brother Owens, that's it, right there. You told everybody why I'm strong-willed. But I'm also telling you it's not right. Now, you have to have a certain strength, and I realize that. I realize that. A lady needs to be strong. She needs to stand for what she believes. But remember, the Bible teaches, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Mrs. Owens, she counsels some ladies from time to time. But I heard her say one day to a group of ladies that she was teaching, only ladies there, she said, ladies, sometimes you just need to shut up and follow. I think that's good advice. Come on, folks, lighten up. You can take this. You can take this. You say, but wonder if he asked me to rob a bank. Did he? Your husband asked you to rob a bank? Well, wonder if he asked me to steal a car. Did he? I've never met a woman whose husband asked her to rob a bank or steal a car. That's not usually, the case is not usually this wicked, vile sin that God will destroy you over. And it's usually something that probably we could have very easily submitted about. So, ladies, the Bible teaches, God commands that a wife be in subjection and be submissive to her husband. But the Bible teaches in marriage there is a mutual submission because it says one to another. Now, you say, well, Brother Owens, In what areas then do we have this mutual submission, this in honor preferring one another? I'm going to give you some areas. I'm going to tell you some areas that you ought to be submissive to one another. For instance, there ought to be a mutual submission in regard to times of conversation. Let your mate talk. Men, let her explain what happened and in her own words and in her own way. We can get very quick to want our wives to just get to the point. Give me the important facts. Leave out all the fluff. Women think in fluff. This world would be a boring, nasty place without women. It would be. We don't like the fluff unless it's fluff-like in time. But listen, let her explain and talk. In conversation, there needs to be a mutual submission. Ladies, let him talk, even when he's acting like a lawyer. Men can verbally cross-examine. You know, they all think they're the second coming of Rush Limbaughs and everything. You know, just almost the attack mode because they're so logically, they're geniuses, you know. And some ladies are saying, "Hey, Brother Owens, listen to his 20-point outline that's going to solve the problem." There are sometimes a lady presents her problem to the man not looking for a solution. She's just looking for care. But the man, we just think we have got to solve the problem. Now, I'm glad to have the problem solved, but men, I hate to burst your bubble. A lot of the problems she presents to you, she could do it herself. You say, "Oh, she couldn't." She's at home so many times all day long. She does things you have no concept of. A woman, when I'm home, needs me to move a chair. I could be gone for a week at a preaching engagement. She can rearrange the whole house. But when I'm home, I have to open the pickle jar. A woman that can move a refrigerator by herself does not need a man to open the pickle jar. And men, we're suckers. We're walking around, "Give me that jar." If you're really smart, you loosen it all the way to the edge and say, "I can't get it, honey." You hand it to her and she pops it open. And there's just, I don't know what the ego trip is and all that. But listen, we've got to learn to converse. We've got to, listen, men, your wife is not going to talk and have conversation exactly like you. And ladies, your man is not going to talk and converse exactly like you, but everybody needs to slow down. You married him, you married her. There ought to be a mutual submission in your time of conversation. There are some of you say, "Well, when we talk, we don't have anything in common." Well, then get something in common and listen. We've got to learn to talk. Talk about things that interest the other. Submit to the voice of your mate. Don't interrupt. Well, we can get so rude. We start using our ESP. Your wife can make a half a sentence, and you're already answering the question because you know where this thing's going, and let's get this over with, and I'll tell you what to do. Couldn't we slow down and be kind? Couldn't we let one another finish sentences? A husband and wife were getting ready for bed. The wife was standing in front of a full-length mirror, taking a good long look at herself. "You know, dear," she says, "I looked in the mirror and I see an old woman. My face is all wrinkled. My hair is gray. My shoulders are hunched over. I've got fat legs. My arms are all flabby." She turns to her husband and says, "Sweetheart, please tell me something positive to make me feel better about myself." He studies hard for a moment, thinking about it, and says in a very soft, thoughtful voice, "Well, honey, obviously you have good eyesight." Men, you got to learn what to say and when to say it. I've learned what seems hilarious to me. Sometimes Mrs. Owens really doesn't think that's funny. And ladies, stop asking us if that dress makes you look a certain way. Please, take the pressure off. All in here, we all agree. You look good in everything. Amen? All right. You leave us alone. Don't set us up. You know, all people need to learn mutual submission in conversation. You know, all of us need to take a moment. Leaders need to listen to followers, and followers to leaders, and brothers to sisters, and sisters to brothers, and husbands and wives. There's a certain politeness. The human race is so rude, and the human race is so arrogant and so full of pride. It's as if we don't have time for anything but what we want to say. And I say, in marriage, there ought to be a mutual submission in regard to our conversation. Secondly, I think not only in our talking, but in our listening. There ought to be a mutual submission. Talking does no good if there's not listening going on. You need to give your ears and your mind and your heart, your attention. We're talking about concentrating. We need to learn to concentrate on what's being said to us. Sometimes, men, we just need to stop what we're doing and listen to our wives. Ladies, you need to stop what you're doing and listen to your husband. Listen to what not only what they say, but what they mean. Sometimes we hurt our relationships because maybe they don't say what they mean, but you know what they mean, but you just spend time fussing about what they said. Y'all ever find yourself there? Well, that's not what you just said. I know, but this is what I meant. Well, that's not what you just said. Wait a minute. If you cared about each other, if she didn't word it exactly right, but you know what she meant, don't you care? You just want to fight about how she said it or how he said it? Well, that's pretty. No wonder the marriages in America are falling apart. You know, have you ever noticed that we have one mouth and two ears? It might be wise that we take that into consideration. So, I say there are areas in which we can practice a mutual submission in our conversation. We can practice it in our listening. I had a lady, and you've heard me say this before, but I had a lady come to my office one day, and it was a very, very serious situation. She said, "Preacher, I want your advice." She came in. She sat down across from me at the desk. She talked for 30 straight minutes. She looked at her watch. She said, "Our time is gone." We stood up. I said, "Thanks for coming in." She said, "Boy, did you help me." She walked out, shut the door. I didn't say one word. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. I didn't say one word. I got a note from her later on. She said, "Preacher, you changed my life." I'm thinking, oh, would to God they were all that easy. But can I tell you something? Listening makes a difference. I don't know why. But listening makes a difference. I'll tell you this, adultery always starts with the ears. You say, that's weird. But always. I've never come across an adultery where one party didn't say, "Well, this other guy, he listened when I talked." Right. You better listen to her, husband, or somebody else will. You better listen to him, wife, or somebody else will. Listening equals caring. Listening equals love. Listening, hey, did you know something? God loves you. He listens to you when you talk. Listening can earn us the right to be heard. For instance, you even use that as a soul-winning tool. Do you know that if you let somebody talk a bit right before you go to witnessing to them, if you let them talk a bit, then you're going to have the chance to be heard, because you can say, "Listen, I was listening to you earlier, and now let me talk to you for a moment." Everybody needs to learn to listen. Again, what's something else where we could share a submission in marriage, where God said we're to submit ourselves one to another? Well, in the area of our opinions, we'll call them preferences. I don't know. Did you know your wife's opinion is as good as yours? Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. Don't always be picking your own. You get deep theology around here. Did you know your husband's opinion is as good as yours? My experience is rotten marriages are full of opinions and people fight about them. most of the time, your marriages are not sour because of conviction. Sour because of differences about opinion. Why argue over an opinion? It doesn't hurt that you give your wife her opinion some, or your husband his opinion. What's wrong? That's in honor, preferring one another. And again, I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about biblical standards. I'm talking about just everyday stupid things. What's the big deal? I've watched churches split over opinions. Opinions. Preferences. Now, I think you've heard me tell this, and I could take you today, we could get on a plane, we could fly to the airport in Atlanta, Georgia, I could get in a car, I could drive you exactly to a church, and the church split over an oak tree in the parking lot. Some wanted to cut it down and make more parking. Others said, we don't want the oak tree cut down. They had a knock-down, drag-out business meeting one night. Half the congregation went out and stood around the tree. The other half got their chainsaws, and they split that church over a tree. I know a church that split over what color they were going to paint the kitchen in a fellowship hall. That's silly. That is silly. There are better things to fight about than that. Hey, we can get very childish. Adults need to learn to give in to each other in regard to some opinions. Can I tell you something about opinion? Some preferences, if I could. You and I ought to learn to give to one another's preferences. Yeah, let's take God. You know, well, let me say this. There's some things in life that Mrs. Owens prefers. I think it's Coffee Mate makes this creamer. It's coconut flavored. Is it made by Coffee Mate, honey? She loves that stuff. She just loves it. And so when I go to the store, I buy her French vanilla creamer. You say, but she likes the coconut. You're right. I don't get her the French vanilla. Why? Because she prefers something, and I would like to meet her preference. Can I ask you something? Do you like to have your preferences met? If you like a Milky Way bar, you'd rather have a Milky Way bar than a Snickers. That's a nice way of living. I'd like all of us to get to the point where we would give God his preferences. Let's give him what he might slightly prefer. Boy, I know some people that can get really rigid with God. You can't show me that picture in a Bible. I'll never do it. I wonder if God preferred it. I wonder if there's something about the way you act or the way you behave or the music you listen to. Wonder if somebody couldn't take you to a specific verse in the Bible and dogmatically show you what God demands. But wonder if I said, well, I think God prefers it. There's some people, you want your preferences met, but you won't even give God his. But I think that we should submit to one another in marriage in the area of our opinions or preferences. You don't need to argue over your opinions. My wife and I, we rarely argue. And when we first got married, we argued some, but we rarely argue. And I'll tell you why. We don't voice our opinions. There are sometimes we just don't voice our opinion. If we differ in opinion, we don't tell each other. Why? I'll tell you why. Because most of your arguments about opinion, if you just keep your mouth shut for about 3 more minutes, the opinion will pass. It'll never turn into an argument. It won't even exist, and it won't matter anymore. We can take the dumbest little thing and fight about it for 2 hours. If we would have just been quiet just a touch longer, the whole episode would pass, and there wouldn't have been a fuss. Most issues fade away moments later, especially when they're opinions. And so, we are to mutually submit to one another. How? In conversation, in our listening, in our opinions, but not only that. I think in advice and counsel, there's a time when we can submit to one another in marriage. I think married people ought to ask one another's advice about things. I really do. I think if you're going to ask your wife's opinion about something, I think a very good way of doing it is looking for areas that would be areas of her expertise. and ask her. I think it's a terrible idea for either one of you, husband or wife, to ask your mate's opinion, and then when they give it, turn around and say, well, that's stupid. You're not grown up enough yet to share opinions. You need to grow up a little bit about it. But you need to be careful. You know, I don't go to Mrs. Owens and ask her what kind of oil we ought to put in the truck. She'd say Crisco. You know, that's just not one of those things I ask. She never asked me what spices to put in the food. I just want her to cook it and slop it on my plate and I eat. That's all I want. But there are certain areas where maybe she has an expertise or I do, but I'll tell you this. Any marriage that's been together very long, they seek one another's advice.
Yes, sir.
They seek one another's advice. I happen to believe I married a wise woman. You say, well, not me. My wife's an idiot. Yes, she is. She married you. That woman can't make any good decisions. I know. My wife and I depend on one another for spiritual advice. And I go to my wife and I'll say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? When we're making big decisions, they are always shared. Let me tell you all something. If that woman right there would have said to me, honey, I do not think we should come to Martinsburg, West Virginia, we would not have come here. We were in unity about that decision. When I took my job as assistant pastor to Dr. Jack Hiles at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, we coveted together, we fasted and prayed for 2 weeks, and had Mrs. Owen said to me, I do not believe it is the will of God, I don't think I could have done it. We depend on one another. We're a team. You need to learn to help one another in life. You're to protect one another. You're to be on the same team. Too many marriages compete. They compete. You're not competing with each other. You're to be one flesh. You're to work together. You're to do what's right. Now, let me tell you this. If it is that we're going to seek advice from one another, then you got to be mature enough to have that advice maybe rejected. If he asks your opinion, but you don't get your way and then you hold it against him for a week, then that might be why he hesitates in asking your opinion. There's got to be a submission there. Let me quickly say a couple more things. Where else could we have this mutual submission? And I'll say this gently and carefully, but to the married people, there needs to be a mutual submission in the area of the intimate life, in your private life. Don't be cold toward one another. And I want you to understand something. Sometimes men get the idea the woman was created for him, but let me explain, you were created for her too. There ought to be a mutual submission there. Wife should submit to the husband and the husband to the needs of the wife. The intimate life will be destroyed if one is stingy. We teach children not to be stingy. Me, what I want, what pleases me. That's wrong. That's wrong in marriage and it's wrong in the private life. Let me tell you what you ought to do. Every man here ought to forget about himself and please his wife. And every woman here ought to forget about herself and please her husband. Then you'll fix the intimate relationship. That's called Christian intimacy. It is a mutual submission. There's another area that I think that you could have mutual submission, and that is in the area of respect. You need to respect one another. You need to respect one another's feelings. Mrs. Owens and I work very hard to encourage one another. We work at that. We respect one another's feelings. I tell you this, we respect one another's even possessions. My wife is a very submissive lady. If I wanted to, I could go to her purse and I could go through her purse and I could look at anything in her purse, but she will tell you, and I know some of you won't like this, but she'll tell you, I have never gotten in her purse. How long have we been married? 28 years? I've been trying to figure it out. I'm just going to ask. 28 years? Don't ever forget how long you've been married. Don't ever forget. 28 years we've been married. She will tell you, I respect her purse. I have never gotten into her purse. I ask her permission. There have been a couple times she had cigarettes in there. I knew it. No, she has cigars. I respect that. I respect her belongings. There are times when she needs a little privacy. I respect that. And folks, let's be careful not to belittle one another. There ought to be a mutual respect that we have for one another. Don't belittle or demean one another. Names that are derogatory and names that are hurtful, where you call somebody a name and you're attacking their person and constantly attacking their character. Listen, you'll get far, far further in life. You'll attract more with honey than you will with vinegar. But we can be so, so disrespectful of one another. Now, here's what I've said. There's a misconception that the woman is the only one who's required to be submissive in the marriage, but the Bible says we are to submit one to another. The woman is, secondly, commanded to be submissive. Thirdly, there are some areas in which we can practice this mutual submission in conversation, then in our listening, then in our opinions, then in our advice or counsel, in our intimate life, in our respect. Now, men, if I could say this, of course, I clarified the Bible teaches the man is to be the head of the household. That's what the Bible teaches, and a lady then should submit to him. But may I say this before we leave tonight? The Bible makes it very clear that the man is to be in submission to his head, which is God. You men, the men in this room, including myself, we need to submit to God. There are men that love to hear someone tell their wives to submit. But if that same someone comes along and says, "And buddy, you better be submitting to God," they don't like that. I want my wife to submit. Lost men, carnal men, fleshly men, they want their wives to submit. Funny thing, the same book that taught them the concept of the wife being in submission to the man teaches the man is to be in submission to God. Funny how we pick what spiritual things would benefit us. There are all sorts of people out there. Boy, you know the lost people out there in the workplace, they can tell you how you're supposed to live, can't they? They pick and choose. But the same God that said to a woman, "Submit to your husband," says to the man, "You better be in submission to God." Men, let's be an example. Wonder if our wives are learning submission by watching us submit to our head. You say, "I'd like my wife to learn submission." Show it to her. Let her see how submissive you are to God. You say, "I want her to meet my need just like that." Good. Show her how you meet God's need, just like that. You say, "From my children, I want immediate obedience." Good. Your Heavenly Father wants immediate obedience from you. Hey, let's be an example to our wives on how to submit. Let's be an example to our sons on how to submit and to our daughters on how to submit. Be an example to other men and to Christians on how to submit. You know, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us men constantly. If he said you're to be the head of the household, I'm going to guarantee you something. The Holy Spirit of God is on you all the time. Are you listening? Are you submitting? You know, Galatians, I wonder if men, if we reap what we have sown in the area of submission. You know, Galatians 6:7 says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Let's be submissive, men, to God. Ladies, Be submissive to your husband. Children, be submissive to mom and dad. But let's all learn some of that give and take in our relationships. If you are a rigid, demanding Christian, you won't last long in a church with us sinners. Because you're going to have the attitudes, my way or the highway, and it'd probably be the highway. I can't have what I want. Listen, in honor, preferring one another. We're not talking about doctrine. We're not talking about convictions and biblical standards. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just everyday life, little opinions about this, little opinions about that. You know, you could go around to the people that teach. I have 72 Sunday school teachers here. You'll be hard-pressed in 7 years to find any one of those 72 Sunday school teachers where this pastor has ever gone to them and told them they had to do anything. Now, there are some things you cross me, I'll come tell you, you're going to do it. Because they're biblical. I don't get a choice in it. Neither do you. But there are a lot of things, just opinion. That's all. Somebody said, "I want to give candy bars away in my class." Good. Somebody else said, "I want to give donuts." Good. Somebody said, "I want to give a rock and roll record." You will not do that in my church. Say, who do you think you are? I got that from my head. There's just some things we're not doing. But understand it. There is a mutual submission that the human race must practice, and especially with the ones that you live with. And believe me, if you learn this,